The following audio devotional is an excerpt from Chuck Jones' teaching on Esther that he presented during the He Reigns, God at Work in Perilous Times conference held in Selma, Alabama, March 16th through the 18th of 2022.
Well, what I want to do today in these two morning sessions, I want to connect some dots, sovereign dots. And so we're just going to go as far as we can go in the first session, take a break, and then finish it up. I'm just going to scan through the book. I've done this kind of thing often, particularly in the life of Joseph in the Old Testament. And so we kind of connect dots, like what if Joseph hadn't had those dreams? What if his brothers hadn't rejected him? What if they hadn't thrown him in the pit so that the Ishmaelites could come, pick him up, and take him to Egypt? And what if Potiphar's wife had not made advance on him? And then what if she hadn't lied? And what if he hadn't been put in jail? And what if? So it goes on and on and on. All those things God used to propel Joseph into God's predetermined plan for him to be in a position of rule and authority. And they were all connected. Did God want his brothers to hate him? Want his brothers to try to kill him? But no. This is where the predetermined plan and God's foreknowledge comes to pass. Does God cause everything? No. Do you feel better if we say God doesn't allow everything? Whatever. It comes out the same way either way. But the fact is, there's a predetermined plan, and God is so brilliant. And you know that God's really fast. And so as people make choices, he just, like, fast, just sews it in the predetermined plan. Makes it all work towards something. It's just amazing. So that man has free will, and God is sovereign at the same time. So, again, we're just going to go through some stuff, get you more familiar a little bit with Esther. I want, again, I really feel like the two main things that God wants us to see this week is how stunningly sovereign God is, how brilliant he is, how he's so quick to take people's choices, bad people, bad choices we make, to just sew them in to his predetermined plan, as if it was all arranged. Again, man has free will, but God arranges man's free will to work out towards his predetermined plan because he has foreknowledge. And he has sleight of hand so fast, you can't even see him putting all the pieces together. I want you to see that, and I also want you to see, we begin the night, what our part is in light of all that. Okay? So I just wrote a bunch of stuff down. I'm going to kind of go over it. Now, remember this. What God wanted to happen was not just for the Jews to be spared, but he wanted their enemies to be destroyed. And so the battle was necessary. The edict, the decree that Haman wrote in the king's name needed to happen, because the only way for all the enemies to be destroyed would be to arrange a battle to happen where a decree was made under the law of the Medes and Persians that couldn't be reversed. And the only way it could be undone was to be overcome. So that's why God says we're overcomers in Christ. It's not that bad things don't happen in a fallen world, but we in Christ overcome those things. Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so he wants this battle to happen. And so Haman being in the position of the end is necessary, because the only way to undo what he had done is to write another decree that created a clash and created an environment where there'd be so many people helping the Jews that it would be an overwhelming victory and a crushing defeat for the enemy. That's what God intended the whole time. And so the end game is brilliant. It's kind of like what it says about Job and James. Let me find James. Behold, we count, verse 11 of chapter 5 of James. Behold, we count those blessed who endure. You have heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. In the end, Job had double of everything he had before. And it says about Job, Job says about himself, I used to hear you with the hearing of my ears, but now the eyes of my spirit see you. So there was something God was doing in his life personally, and then bigger than that. Okay? So again, keep in mind, God wants the battle to happen. The enemy thinks he's winning. Demonic spirits are motivating Haman, but the Lord plays the enemy all the time. I think one of the things that's going to make hell so intolerably hell for the devil is how much he got played to help God's predetermined plans come to pass. Matter of fact, let me read this place from Job. Now, often I'll find that when I read from the book of Job, people almost screech because they can't explain it. Because God's good, and so you can't read Job. We just count that out. It's not in the New Testament. but it just happened to end up getting stuck in the Bible. I don't know why God made a mistake like that, but he did. This is Job chapter 42. Job answers, "So, Lord, I know that you can do all things and that no purposes of yours can be thwarted." But it's there. It's right there. And we don't need to practice eisegesis and force it to say something contrary to what it's saying, because it's saying something that we've read verses already about. Now, does that mean that God isn't good? No, God is good, and God is really big. Amen? Did Jesus come to heal, to destroy the works of the devil? Yes, he did. Do you go about doing good, healing all those who are oppressed by the enemy? Yes, he did. Are we called to do the same thing? Yes, we are. What's your identity? You're in Christ. What's your calling? We all have the same calling, to be conformed to the likeness of Christ, to manifest the likeness of Christ. And what's your assignment? To bring heaven to earth every day, okay? But it doesn't mean we have to throw out a truth from Scripture that's really an important part of the ingredient of our walking with the Lord and practicing his presence. All righty. Now, we've mentioned a few of these things last night. We're just going to go through them again. And I want you to see, and I'm going to just mention these, and I'll connect the dots. But I want you to think, is now, what if that hadn't happened? Because everything that happened, it seems as if it had to happen. But did God want people to do evil things? No, but he has foreknowledge, and he's quick as a rabbit, a supernatural one, to just fold it all in to his predetermined plan. So the king, again, he has this banquet for 180 days, actually 187 days, because there was a second banquet. And this banquet was to reveal his wealth, his power. He's rallying his people to go to war against the Greeks. Really important part of God's plan in creating this battle so that the enemy could be totally destroyed and God's people can continue their redemptive purposes, and his ultimate redemptive purpose in Christ could not be stopped. So he has this thing, this banquet, to show off what he had, rally the people for this battle against the Greeks. And there's also, at the last 7 days, a ladies' banquet that Vashti's overseeing. And at some point, as we mentioned last night, the king has a little bit too much wine, and he decides he wants to show off Vashti because the scripture says she's beautiful. And he says to bring, so he sends 7 eunuchs to bring Vashti to come and to bring her crown, because he wants to show her off to all the people, because this last seven day, this second banquet that lasted 7 days, had every citizen in Susa was invited in the palace. So it wasn't like he was going to show her off to the nobility and all that kind of thing. It's just the people. And again, I assume it's because he sent eunuchs instead of telling her to come. Or maybe she was too prideful because he's going to show her off to just the common people. But whatever the reason was, when they went to get her, she refused to come. Now, what if she hadn't refused to come? What if she had actually gone? Now, I want you to hear this. One choice of a king who's had too much to drink, who out of pride wants to show off his beautiful wife, and then one woman's choice to say no, set things in perfect motion for God's purposes to be accomplished. How does that affect our lives? There are people making choices all the time that affect our lives. Some of them we know about, and we get angry about it. Some of them we don't know about. The ones we know about, we should never get angry, because he reigns. There's a psalm that says, even when there are clouds and thick darkness, he reigns. So we're going to relate this a lot to our New Testament experience. I'm in Christ, and now I'm part of a bigger story. His story. He's my life. You with me? He's your life. You're in Christ. You have died and your life is hidden with Christ and God. And so people seem to be making choices as if they're in control of your life, but nobody's in control of your life but Christ. It's his story. When she says no, it says the king, in verse 13 of chapter 1, said to the wise men who understood the times, for it was the custom of the king so to speak before all who knew the law and justice, and were close to him. And there's all these names that are really hard to pronounce, but the one that's really important is Memucan. He's one of the 7 princes that ruled over the 127 provinces. And these were the ones that were the closest people to the king and were his advisors and counselors. And so this Memucan says, according to the law, he asked him, according to the law, what has to be done with Queen Vashti? Because she did not obey the command of the king, delivered by the eunuchs. And in the presence of the king and the princes, Memucan said, Queen Vashti has wronged not only the king, but also all the princes and all the people who are all in the provinces of King Ahasuerus. King Xerxes, we'll use that. That's easier. For the queen's conduct will become known to all the women, causing them to look with contempt on their husbands by saying, King Xerxes commanded Vashti to be brought to his presence, but she did not come. And this day, the ladies of Persia and Media who have heard of what the queen had done and her conduct will speak in the same way to all the king's princes, of which he's one of the seven. So who do you think his interests are all about? This is the one man who's speaking up because he's concerned about what his home life's going to be like. If Queen Vashti gets away with this, he doesn't know what. Maybe he already had somebody at home that was a little difficult to deal with, and this wasn't going to help. All of God's redemptive purposes appears to have hinged on this one self-centered man trying to protect his own hide at home. They could have said to the king, just don't have anything to do with her for 6 months, like put her on probation. But this guy's got some issues at home, and he's wanting to make a statement. Think about that. Selfish guy. One guy, only time he's mentioned in history, yet he changes history because of God's predetermined plan. He said, and there will be plenty of contempt and anger. And if it pleases the king, let a royal edict issued by him and let it be written in the law of the Medes and Persians. Everything wasn't written in the law of the Medes and Persians with the stamp, but he wanted to make sure this thing was never undone. That it cannot be repealed, that Vashti should come no more into the presence of the king, and let the king give her royal position to another who is more worthy than he. And when the king's edict, which he shall make, is heard throughout the whole kingdom, great as it is, then all women will give honor to their husbands, great and small. And this word pleased the king and the princes, and the king did as Memucan told him, proposed. And he sent letters to all the king's provinces, to each province according to its script, and to every people according to the language, that every man should be master in his own house, and the one who speaks in the language of his own people. In other words, every man should be master, and the wife needs to just be quiet. Because one man had an agenda. But again, I want you to catch what's happening. The details of people making decisions out of impure motives. A king wanting to show off his wife. A wife, pride, refusing. Memucan coming along because he's got some issues at home. All these things set in motion God's predetermined plan. Or be used as part of God's predetermined plan.
This concludes this excerpt from the He Reigns Conference. If you'd like to listen to the full conference, it can be found on asinwars.org under Teachings from Schools and Conferences Held in Selma.